Sci-Fi London simply wouldn't exist without Louis Savvy. Nor, for that matter, would the Louis Savvy phone link on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Relax and let your mind expand.
Which is what we're actually saying, of course, this time around. For a change, it's not the UK edition of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition that he's connected with, just for our special Los Angeles correspondence, where it is, of course, the morning, just coming around to 10:08 a.m. on sirenonline.co.uk. We can say welcome, welcome indeed, creator, great guru, great wonderment behind the wondrousness that is Sci-Fi London 11. Can you believe it? 11 of these wonderful events, and we're up to 11 already. Louis Savvy, how are you, sir?
Good evening. Good evening. Very well, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. And I can't believe that we're literally just a week away from the whole thing happening again. It's marvellous. I've already said to Alan Stevens and Fiona Moore that, you know, they'll be our duly deputised Siren FM Southside broadcasting reporters for the whole thing, so I'll be hopefully in touch with your good self. There's the opening ceremony, of course, on the Tuesday evening. You've got Ilana Rain dropping in, which is fantastic, from We Are All Silence, and of course the person who has become a fixture as far as 10:30 a.m. in Los Angeles is concerned, 6:30 p.m. UK time, the legend behind, of course, The Truth Is Out There, Mr. Phil Lunis. Exactly. We'll have to get some more sort of idents and things sorted out there. But Katie, you were having a look at the scifilondon.com website, and I think you were quite blown away, really.
Yeah, I was interested how manga's on there.
Yes, how is manga on there, basically, Louis? You know, all these Japanese irresponsible questions.
That it's sci-fi.
Wouldn't you?
No.
Wow. We've got lots of this. I would think, actually, most anime, most manga stuff these days has got some kind of sci-fi influence to it. And we've been doing a manga all-nighter for, 11 years now. This will be our 11th year of doing it, you know, showing everything from Ghost in the Machine and Ghost in the Shell and Akira and Red Line and Metropolis and all those kind of things. So, and some great sci-fi movies in there.
Do you have cosplay as well?
We don't have cosplay, although on this Sunday, weather permitting, and we hope it stops raining, we have our Sci-Fi London parade going across the Thames and down to the South Bank. So there's a few cosplayers in there, but we do have a lot of Stormtroopers and Batman and all sorts of stuff. And in fact, last year we had a Mary Poppins turn up. I'm not quite sure the association there, but she does fly and she has a talking umbrella. So
that's hardcore SF for me, Louis.
It's hardcore SF for me.
Well
too,
sorted
indeed.
Through there, yeah. We've already talked about the wondrous ghost with Jobs. I feel I can mention that. The sort of show we've had today, where we've had the Lincoln Mudder Muckers, doing the Tough Mudder Challenge, and indeed Annette Andre's somewhat scathing reviews of Catholicism and all sorts of the role of women in society, and indeed American Shock Jocks. But there we are, all setting the scene, Louis, neatly, of course, for another wondrous scenario. I mean, there do seem to be an awful lot of fabulous events that are going through. It's good to see that Sci-Fi London was duly plugged and praised by SFX magazine, and our colleagues there, Dave Bradley, of course, saying it's an outstanding event, must go to, and all sorts of things. Let us not forget, of course, the Arthur C. Clarke Literature Award, which also takes part at the heartland of Sci-Fi London.
It certainly does. We have the award ceremony on Wednesday. I know that the jury met on Saturday and did their final deliberation, so I think they know who the winner is, but they're not telling anybody. Nobody will know until Wednesday night.
It's an interesting one, because, I mean, China Mieville, I would have thought, is I suppose, a reasonable bet from the whole side of things there, but as ever, there's a nice range. I was quite amazed to find that the actual, although it's still the Arthur C. Clarke Award, that the estate of Arthur C. Clarke have time, they don't support it as such now. Have they just run out of
funny money.
Exactly. Only kidding, Arthur C. Clarke's estate, Lord above.
Rocket Publishing do support the awards still. I don't know if they can support it in quite the same financial way as they used to. And so if there's any benefactors listening to your show, they need £2,013 next year for the award, because it goes up. It started in 2001 that they gave that £2,001 with the caveat that it would go up by £1 every year from there on in. So it's £212 this year is the prize.
I think that makes perfect sense, really.
It's a fabulous idea, yeah.
Do you have a list of the nominations with you upon your person, Louis?
I don't have it in front of me, but I know that, from memory, we've got Charlie Stross's Rule 34, There's The Testament of Jesse Lamb. There is Embassy Town, obviously, by China. And then the rest of them escape me.
They're all good, though. I think they're about six choices and well worth sort of accessing it because, as we've frequently said, if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage. Actually, I think it was Sam Goldwyn who said that, but I've kind of appropriated it since as a useful line to pursue from that point of view. Louis, I mean, there are so many goodies. I mean, I love the Boris Karloff all-nighter that we've spoken about, the whole heap of other fine things that are actually there. Anything that sort of... is it just a case of, as a festival director, you think, well... that's okay, I never get to see anything, but as long as people are enjoying it, then I'm happy.
Partly that. I mean, I've seen everything that's in the festival, but I've seen it all on a much smaller screen and not in a cinema space, and you're quite right, I tend not to get a chance to see much of it in the cinema. But what we tend to do is, when it's all over, then I'll pick two or three movies and we'll get some quiet time in the cinema and go and watch those for ourselves. So I won't be missing out on the ones I really want to see. So,
and how's the 48-hour film challenge progressing?
Very, very difficult. We did our shortlist meeting last night. We had 172 films, I think it is, in the final count, made last weekend. And yeah, last night we sat down and went through those to try and pull out 10. From that number, and there were some amazing films again. The standard was even higher this year than it was last year, and very, very difficult. There'll be, you know, we were very disappointed to not include, you know, probably 30 of the films that were on the shortlist, our original shortlist. So, but we'll announce the winners, the shortlist in the next couple of days, and then the winners will be announced on the closing day of the festival.
I like to feel that Sci-Fi London is not just for the month of May, it's for the whole year round in many ways, because it resonates, as we know, just by, I mentioned obviously Phil Leonis and Ilana Raine, who emerged as blossoming broadcasters par excellence from the 2011 Sci-Fi London, etc. Are we looking at again new sort of folk coming on board there, and do you often get a line, obviously Greg Pak a couple of years ago, we had the Owen Allen all-nighter, etc. Do you still feel as though there's a bonding there? I'm particularly interested in the fact that you've got the William Shatner documentary on Captains of the Enterprise as well.
We have, and actually there's some breaking news. I say breaking. We've already, it's on, obviously on the website, but we've got the world premiere of another Star Trek documentary called Trek Nation, which is made by the Roddenberry Corporation. And it's all about Rod Roddenberry and, you know, his father and his the legacy basically of Star Trek, and it's got some amazing rare footage in it and interviews with people like George Lucas and J.J. Abrams, and absolutely fabulous documentary, and it's just been added to the lineup on Monday the 7th at the Apollo in the afternoon. Tickets on sale now.
You see,
at scifilondon.com.
This is fantastic, and I just got a little heads up to the 6 shortlisted books, just in case people are thinking. Greg Bear, half Hull 03, nothing to do with the city of Hull, is
the
in there.
Specialist.
Yeah, The End Specialist with Drew McGarry.
Yeah.
China Mieville, as we mentioned, Embassy Town. Jane Rogers, The Testament of Jesse Lamb. Charles Stross, Rule 34. And, of course, Sherry S. Tepper, The Waters Rising.
Indeed. At EasterCon, actually, at Easter, the BSFA, you know, the big literature convention that is held every Easter, they did a Not the Arthur C. Clarke Award panel, and had former judges from previous years of the award pick their favourite book, and Testament of Jesse Lamb won that. So, but I wouldn't necessarily go and put your money on that one. Like I said, I don't, you know, we don't know who it is, but you know, these things. The Clarks is always an interesting award. Yeah. Everybody argues, except the winner, obviously.
And I was fortunate enough to meet the late great Gene Roddenberry, Great Brother of the Galaxy, back in 1984, before K.T. Grimson was actually born. But there we are. That's a whole routine. I just wondered, I'd be tempted, given also in the 1980s we had the classic musical Youth, if indeed the Roddenberry estate had actually decided to launch with something like Trek Generation, Old Nation with Version. Pass the cleaner with the apple. Do you think, hey, that's just a thought? It's a thought, Katie. Well, if you haven't come across Musical Youth, you should check it out. It's a real treat.
Indeed. And that, yeah, another plug, just though, while you're saying 80s movies, 80s and 90s movies, we have an all-nighter we're calling Dutch Master, which is a tribute to Paul Verhoeven, and we're showing
Total Recall
on the big screen. And it, actually, I'm hoping to hear tomorrow that we've got a fully restored high-definition copy of it. It's being released in July, and they're desperately trying to finish it now so that we can screen it next Saturday, also Saturday week in our all-night. And we're showing Total Recall, Starship Troopers, Hollow Man, and, of course, RoboCop. Back-to-back, all-night, free ice cream, free Mountain Dew. That'll keep you awake. If you're coming down, Alex, it's cheaper than a hotel, of course.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm having a annoying about this because there's so many sort of times I scheduled through on this, and there was time I was like, oh, I hope to get down there, and then I can't get down, then I am, and then I'm not. And it's, oh, it's, we're all over the place. I'm still, my heart's with you, Louis, as you know. We should be, I'm going to try and be there, hopefully, for something from that point of view.
Indeed. We've also got, as soon as I hear the news, I will text you as well about a little bit of stuff that's being sent to us by 20th Century Fox. So I'm not saying any more than that. But
it's quite all right. By the way, Katie, have you liked Sci-Fi London on Facebook as yet?
No, I haven't.
I think you need to.
You need to do that and follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter. I'm a big tweeter.
Good. Well, if you follow us on there, we'll follow you back. And
thank you.
We'll keep you fully informed.
And I can tell you, Katie, when you're followed by the Sci-Fi London team, it's like having a cavalry behind
really
you.
Being followed. It's like stalked.
I like to see it not so much as a stalking side of things, Louis, more as a cavalry coming over the hill. You know, it's just when you think it's all there, you know, you just break it down, then suddenly.
You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM. My name's Louis Savvy, director of the Sci-Fi London Film Festival.
So that's exactly what it says. Marvellous, you know, all done and dusted. Okay, I'm presuming that it's too late to book tickets online now. If people actually want to come along, they need to.
No, absolutely. It's all available. There are a few things sold out. Dimensions at the BFI is sold out. Our opening night film is sold out. Closing night is almost sold out. The Anime All Night is almost sold out. But the tickets are still available for a lot of the shows, and there are some of them where we're showing them twice. So if you can't make one screening, then you might be able to make another. And it's all, if you go to cypherlondon.com, everything is there, all the links that you need.
And something which is always crucial to all good festivals, whether they're literary festivals, whether they're events, even in badminton, of course. It's particularly interesting that badminton have now followed in the footsteps of last year's Sci-Fi London by having the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge appearing this year. Not the zombified versions.
I
think they're actually going to be at badminton this year. But you see, you set the stage, Louis. You know, you set the stage last year from that point of view. But I'm thinking festival volunteers, often the unsung heroes are the people who kind of wear the badge, guide people in the right direction, without whom, effectively, the role of a festival director would be that much harder.
Absolutely. And we have some fabulous volunteers this year, and as we do every year, the festival really couldn't happen without them. And so if any of them are listening, I thank you. You know I do. So.
And they can listen again, of course, Louis, because this will be available as a podcast that they can download and listen to as often as they wish.
The wonder of technology.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's all about in so many ways. Louis, it's been absolutely fabulous. Do you have anything you want to say to Phil Lynn as he prepares his way? Because I can tell now he'll be psyching himself up. He'll be getting ready and set for Katie to actually dial up the number to hopefully get him online,
get
himself sorted.
I would like to say to Phil, if he's anywhere near a C's Candies, California, I'd like some nuts and chews, please.
I think that's very important. That's a lot easier than bringing all the T-shirts he's been asked to bring over and all the rest of the folk
it's
for.
It's a particular company in the US. I think they've got one branch in New York and the rest of them are all in California.
All right,
they make some of the best sweets you'll ever eat with nuts and chews.
Sees candy from that sort of point of view. Well, I think it remains for us to simply say at this particular point.
Of course, one of the big stars on the X-Files, and he's making a documentary called The Truth Is Out There.
One of the things that UFO research has done to me is instill in me a healthy disrespect for the things that government says.
They are poisoning our people. There is a population control agenda. There really are people who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world.
If we don't allow these corrupt banks to fail, then the nation will fail, and there will be no recovery.
Don't stand on the sides of the river and comment on how corrupt and dark and evil everything is. We all know that.
I don't need to have you understand or agree with me or believe. It doesn't matter to me. I know what I know.
The name of our film is...
The truth is out there.
But it really isn't.
But isn't there a universal truth that science is going for?
Perhaps the universal truth is what makes us subject.
Okay, you just blew my mind.
Splendid. And of course, as we're well aware, Phil, he's already working on The Truth Is Out There, too. Ancient Mysteries.
Wow.
Truth is out there. One will be screened in the University of Lincoln Cargill Lecture Theatre at 1:30 p.m. next Wednesday. We're not competing with the London Film Festival. We're simply complementing it. As he's also having a screening, I think, in Birmingham and also Goldsmiths as well, as he does a sort of mini tour of parts of London that many Californians didn't even realise existed. But there we are. That's all part and parcel of the whole thing. Hopefully sort of spreading the sci-fi London word as well. So, Katie, those last two questions for Louis Savvy after those shameless plugs for Phil Learners, when Louis Savvy might quite rightly say, oi, you know, I've got my schedule here, yeah, you know, sci-fi London, what's going on here? A full 60-second promo for Phil Learners. I mean, I love the guy, but please, you know. Katie.
Louis, have you had an interesting telephonic conversation with us today?
As always.
And can we look forward to hearing from you again?
Yes, you can.
There we are, you say. Sort of. Maybe we could squeeze in one, what do you want to say, next week when Phil's actually in the studio here? Do you think we might be able to do a little teeny one there?
That might be fine. If I'm, as long as everything's going fine at the Apollo, I'll have a clear brain.
Ah, there we are. Marvellous. I couldn't recall, were you a Tottenham supporter or a Chelsea man?
West Ham.
Yeah, well, it could still happen, of course.
Exactly.
It's all about Aston Villa.
Who?
What is this strange thing you speak of, young Katie Grimerson, Aston Villa?
Oh, Birmingham City.
I do like something about the kit's quite good. But
manager's a bit dodgy, I would have thought. Big Egg, as he used to be referred to in his days at Aberdeen. Still, what the hey? Here come the new Seekers.
Oh.